Thank you, Cammie, and thank you, Tracy, under the cover. Hello, Bridgeway. How are you? It's good to see you. What a story, that Ruth Boaz story, and Boaz being what was known as a kinsman redeemer. He had a desire for Ruth, and he stated that desire. He claimed her because of his love for her. Kinsman redeemer. And Jesus is our redeemer. And he has put a claim on us because of his great love for us and because of the joy that was set before him. And we are under his cover. Symbolically, Ruth came under the cover of Boaz, but we in reality are under the cover of God's love. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, under the cover. My name is Gary Coiro, and I'm pleased to be one of the pastors at Bridgeway. I am not often up here at Owings Mills, but if you are in the partnership process or have ever taken one of the partnership classes or maybe a Wednesday night eLive class, then perhaps I have had the privilege of being able to meet you. Pastor Mitch, so good to be on your campus here, and I'm grateful to Pastor Anderson for actually giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I spoke just back on Father's Day up at Columbia, so I wasn't sure whether he was going to put me in the summer series, but I wanted to be, so I asked him if there any way that you could put me in the summer series, because there's been something that's just been brewing inside of me for a while. Kind of started in the winter when I was teaching through the Gospel of John, and I wanted to share that with you, this idea of cover me, being under God's cover. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your covering. And we pray that you would use your word through your spirit to change us, to renew our minds to be more like Jesus. And this we pray in his precious name. Amen. Perhaps you've played dodgeball before, or maybe you've played paintball before, or maybe you've seen a war movie before where someone says, "Cover me!" And then they run out and they put themselves at risk and they're hoping that someone else covers them. Someone else has their back. I remember as a little boy, I was the youngest of four boys, and so I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder and wanted to prove myself. And so I tried to do this on my tricycle. And we had a rather big hill right that approached our driveway. And then at the bottom of the hill, there was a bridge. And there was a brook, a trout stream that was there. And then our driveway started at the end of this dead end. And I remember being on my tricycle and coming down that hill at brake speed. The problem was a tricycle is kind of like a fixie, which means that if the tire's moving, the pedals are moving too. There are no brakes on a tricycle. And at 6 or 7 years old, I didn't really recognize this. I am so grateful for my neighbor, Paulie. Paulie, who lived just up the hill, and he was there for me, and Paulie metaphorically said, "I've got you." And he grabbed me as my tricycle went off the bridge and into the trout stream. So grateful for that. He covered me. To cover is this idea of shielding someone, screening for someone, protecting someone. Have you ever needed covering? We're all fairly, maybe I'll just speak for myself. I can be insecure sometimes. And I can feel like I need the covering of others. I told you I was the youngest of four boys, so you know what that meant? I got hand-me-down clothes. And oftentimes, not oftentimes, but I do recall in my mind walking in school and someone saying, "Hey, Koiro, where's the flood?" Now, those of you who grew up in the 70s or the 80s probably understand that. I mean, I've noticed the fashion trends today, and it's almost like this is the cool thing to do, you know, is to have a little gap and show off your ankle. But in my day, it wasn't that way. And so even today, when I put on my pants, which are a little skinnier than my thighs, I noticed that they were riding up on me a little bit. And I kind of was reminded of that third grader who heard, "Hey, Koiro, where's the flood?" So I'm going to ask you, rather than say that, would you cover me today? Just cover me. And what that means is to just accept me in my frailty, in my insecurity, maybe in my social misstep. Will you just sort of cover it with love? That's sort of the big idea of where we are going today. Boy, do we need this in our culture, don't we? This idea of covering one another. How do you do in traffic? You know, this is an easy one to... There are times I cut people off in traffic. What do you do when you do that? Do you say, "My bad," or do you give them a different signal with your hand than that? What's your response when someone else needs your covering in traffic? Is it no worries? You know, I'm a tennis player, but I've been playing some pickleball now, and pickleball court is only about the third of the size of a tennis court. And so it's easy to infringe on your partner's territory. We're mostly playing doubles on that. And sometimes someone will step in, oftentimes it's me, step in and take a ball that maybe you should have let your partner take and miss the shot. You know what are a couple of phrases that I like to hear on the pickleball court quite often? "My bad" and "no worries." "My bad," taking responsibility that I did a misplay, and then hearing from my partner or me expressing it when they did something maybe that wasn't best, and to say, "No worries. Let it go. Just cover it. Cover it over with love." Our key text for today is going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's going to be in verses 7 through 10. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about it. Peter wrote this in the early 60s. That's not the 1960s, but that's the first century, and that's going to be significant as we unpack the story just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 10. "The end of all things is near." So Peter's kind of getting to the summary of this first letter of his. "Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants, stewards of God's grace in its various ways. Forms. The word "cover" here means to protect, to forgive, to hide. It literally means to conceal or to keep secret. Let me give you an example of this. How many of you like the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, 7 of us like that movie. Okay. This is a great movie with Jimmy Stewart. It's like one of my favorites, my holiday favorites. Well, in this, young George Bailey finds out that Mr. Gower has made a big mistake. Mr. Gower, upset over the loss of his own son, has put poison in the pills for someone else. And George is asked to deliver it. And when he fails to deliver it, he exposes to Mr. Gower, "Mr. Gower, you didn't know what you were doing. You put poison in those. There's poison in there, I tell you. I can quote the whole movie if you got time. And Mr. Gower certainly found out that, yes, he had poisoned those pills. And George promises him, I won't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone. What did he do? He was covering Mr. Gower. He was keeping it secret. Keeping the frailty, the failure of another secret. This is what it means to cover someone else. Now, when Peter says it, he says, love covers a multitude of what? Of sins. I mean, we don't even do this well with things that are not sins. Simple missteps, vulnerabilities of others. We're quick to throw people under the bus. Do we shame people or do we cover people? We're in a cancel culture. And I want the church to be a cover culture. A culture that covers others rather than when you recognize a misstep, maybe someone said something wrong, that we quickly cancel them immediately. How about keeping that secret? How about concealing that? How about covering that over with love, which is the prelude to what Peter is saying here. Love each other deeply. Do you cover others? Do I cover others? Now, I'm married to Tracy, who sang that beautiful song earlier, and I step on Tracy's toes a lot. Now, that's both figuratively and literally. But she covers me. She covers me in that. She's quick to forgive me in that. I want to be quick to forgive others. And I want to help us to understand that if love can cover an abundance of sins, then certainly it can cover a non-sinful idiosyncrasy, a mistake, a weakness, a vulnerability. Tracy and I will tease each other now and then, and we'll look at each other and say, we're exactly alike. You know why we say that? Because we couldn't be any more different than two people could be. She's an empath. She's a feeler. I'm a little bit more thinking, firing on the rational or logical order. And oftentimes, she'll do things that I don't understand. And sometimes I don't do great at covering, and I'll kind of expose that and talk to her about it and sort of ask her the rationale behind that and what were you thinking in that. And sometimes Tracy will look at me and say, just love me. Just love me. You know what that's asking for? Will you just cover me? You don't have to agree. Will you just cover me in this? And I want to do better at that. I want us all to do better in covering one another. You remember that great song in the movie Frozen? The song being what? Let it go. Can't we just let some things go and not sweat the small stuff? Dr. Richard Carlson, in his book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, subtitled, and it's all small stuff. Even Paul would say, of all of his trials, he says, he considers them what? Light and momentary in comparison with the grace that's being revealed in him. Let's not sweat the small stuff. So I've introduced a little bit this idea of covering, right? Love covers a multitude of sins. But I want to take us back into the passage in which Peter shares this and look at where he goes next. It should be intriguing to you. It certainly is to me. Because Peter says in verse 8, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And then it's as if he changes the topic totally and he says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And it makes me think, are you preaching from an outline here and this is your next point? What is going on here, Peter? Well, I want to take you back to something Peter experienced 30 years earlier. Sometimes memories will stick with you. Do you remember some things that happened to you 30 years ago? Let's do the math. 1993 was the first summer I launched my boat. A wooden boat that looked much like the boat my dad had when I grew up on Long Island Sound in the late 70s. And I remember that boat just like it was yesterday that I put it in the water for the first time. That was the year my oldest son Daniel was born. And I remember when Daniel was born, I thought I could take off my wedding ring and put it over his arm. He was a little bit early, and his limbs were so thin. 30 years ago, but those memories stick in my mind. I think Peter has a memory that he's thinking of that happened 3 decades earlier. You see, he's writing in the early 60s, so in the early 30s, what is going on here? Well, Jesus is still on earth, and he's having an upper room discourse, the Last Supper. He's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on that particular occasion. I want to start in Luke chapter 22 because this sort of puts Peter on notice in Luke chapter 22. In verses 7 through 13, we read that then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." And then there's some details related to that. And in verse 13, we see, they came and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. Who prepared the Passover? Peter and John prepared the Passover. Okay, with that in mind, let's talk about hospitality in the Jewish culture, shall we? It was a big deal. It's such a big deal that when Paul does the hinge pin moving from doctrine to duty in the book of Romans, one of the first things he mentions about the duty of a Christian is to practice hospitality. It was such a part of the Jewish tradition that it went all the way back to Genesis 18 when Abraham hosted his 3 guests. Practice hospitality. Well, an important part of practicing hospitality, which was modeled by Abraham back in Genesis 18, is to make sure that your guests are refreshed, comfortable, and that their feet are clean. The dirty ground of Palestine was a perfect environment when you're wearing open sandals to pick up dirt on your feet. And so it was appropriate and required to practice hospitality by washing the feet of your guests when they came. Well, who was the host at the dinner? Who was told to go and set up for the Passover? Peter and John were. And yet, what do we see? We see that Jesus is actually the one who washes feet. I mean, Jesus even doubles down on this value in Luke chapter 7 when he's at the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And this woman comes in and she washes Jesus' feet. And Simon says to himself, but I think he says it out loud because the text says Jesus answered him. Simon says to himself, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of a sinful woman this was. And Jesus turned toward the woman, but said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Do you think foot washing was a big deal in Jewish culture? Yes. Now, in 2023, we don't wash the feet of our guests. I don't think we do in our culture with some level of regularity. However, it was a part of the Jewish culture. So you got to go back into that culture and understand the value of it in order to apply it this day. Peter missed the mark. It was a social misstep that he did. Well, let's see how Jesus handles it in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we see that it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. See, this is the meal that Peter was to set up. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Iscariot, Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin. You mean there wasn't water in a basin already? Peter, come here. Peter. How long we've been walking together, Peter? Yep. 2-3 years? Yep. How important is this cultural value of hospitality in our culture, Peter? Yep. Who's the leader of this little posse, Peter? You're right, I am. Jesus. I'm the rabbi, I'm the master, I'm the teacher. Peter, look at my feet. What do you see? Whose fault is that, Peter? Do you see Jesus do any of that? What does he do? He covers Peter. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't throw him on the bus. As a matter of fact, he goes the extra mile and he fulfills the responsibility that Peter neglected. Wow. Peter is under the cover of Jesus' love and grace in this moment. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I think the application today is kind of obvious that we should cover one another. This is an expression of love. It's a subset of how we love others. We cover them. But there's another thing I want us to take a look at. How are we at receiving the covering of others? Or in particular, the covering of God. I find in myself this principle. I find it difficult to be loved in my weakness, to receive that love in my weakness. It could be pride, it could be shame. I'm trying to sort that all out. But it's challenging to be loved in our weakness. And we see that in Peter, don't we? We see that in Peter when Jesus came to wash his feet. And I think that Peter recognized that he had blown it. Jesus didn't need to mention it to him. I think he realized it when he saw the master get up and start to fulfill this traditional, appropriate responsibility. He came to Peter, verse 6 says, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Remember earlier when Peter recognized the enormity of God after that great catch of fish And he said, away from me, Lord. We feel ashamed. We feel unworthy that we're not an appropriate recipient of this kind of love and grace. No. Or it could just be we say, no, I'm good. I don't need that. I think Peter's response was a little bit of each. I'm going to wash your feet now, Peter. No, I'm good. I'm good, Jesus. That's fine. Maybe hiding his own shame, unwilling to humble himself and be covered for his misstep. And then Jesus says, hey, you don't let me do this, you got no part with me. And then Peter's like, all right, then give me the bath. Give me the whole thing. And I think in some ways at that point, Peter is saying, or at least feeling, no matter how much you love me and cover me right now, it's not going to be enough. I got to do some penance. I got to do something to overcome my failure or my mistake. So I see in this a responsibility that we have, not only to cover others, but to let God and to let others cover us, and to humbly receive that love unto ourselves. And not deny it, not to flinch, not to be triggered, not to go into hiding. When we have failed, rather than hide from God, rather than hide from Christ, we need to hide in Christ and allow him to cover us. We are under God's cover. This word carries a variety of meanings in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. We're going to look at some Old Testament examples. It is defined as protection, forgiveness. His cover is a place of refuge. It literally means to be hidden, to be kept secret. It was when God was speaking to Moses in Exodus 33, 21 through 23, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. I'll be that shield, that screen, that protection. Psalm 91 is one of my favorite Old Testament indications of God's covering for us. I would suggest to you read the whole psalm, but we don't have time to go through all of it, but I'll read just the first four verses to us. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, God covers us. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He will cover you. I found it interesting that this word, this Hebrew word, carries a couple of meanings. One of the meanings is to shut off. And I had to think about that a little bit. What is it? How does that fit? Well, have you ever seen a scene, or maybe you've even been a part of one where one friend maybe is tipping the bottle just a little bit too much, and either the bartender or his friend does what? I'm going to shut you off. What is that? I'm going to protect you from yourself right now. I'm going to shut you off. I'm going to cover you right now. Are any of you watching the Tour de France or following it at all? It's a 21-stage race, and it's, I believe it's stage 9 today. But to watch the peloton, to watch over 100 cyclists all ride in very close proximity to one another is really interesting. And what is happening in that is that the riders up front are screening for the riders behind. They're blocking the wind for the riders behind them. So another sports metaphor which may help us to understand this idea of covering, which means to screen, is I'm going to share a basketball illustration with you. And I have a couple of former NBA greats who are going to come up to the stage right now. Pastor Steve and student director Cody. Let's welcome them up. So I'm going to put, so cover means to screen, okay? So we're going to model for you and explain what a screen is in basketball. So I'm going to place Cody here. So Cody, if you can face toward Pastor Steve, that'd be great. So Cody is on my team, and he's going to set a screen for me. And Pastor Steve is on the other team, so he's defending me. Okay, he wants to get the ball. He wants to keep me from shooting. And while he's in close proximity to me, I can't get a shot off. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move in this direction, and the defender can't come with me because Cody is setting a screen. So you're going to try to come at me, but Cody, come on. Be brave.
Come on, Pastor.
And see what happens is, now I have a gap, and what can I do? I can get a shot off. And the closer I am to my screener, the better opportunity I have to get rid of the one who's trying to attack me. Okay? All right. Their attention should be on me right now, not on you. Right? So if I don't go through the screen correctly, and I create too much of a gap, then what happens? He can sneak through, and now he can still be there with me. So what's the spiritual idea of this? The spiritual idea of this is if you're not in close proximity to your screener, then the enemy has greater opportunity to stay with you and attack you and defend against you, okay? Thank you so much. Pastor Steve's quite a defender there. I'm glad I put the right guy in the screen, though, you know? Can I talk to you for just a moment about Jesus' covering of us? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, we read that the accuser of the brothers and sisters, that's us, he accuses us before God day and night. And Hebrews 12:10 says that Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father. And every time the accuser accuses us, Jesus stands up and sets a screen. He sets that pick and he says, I got that one. I got your back. I've got that one covered. So when Gary commits that sin again, and the accuser tries to accuse me, as long as I stay close to my screener, he can't have access to me and to shame me. And I can hear my screener say, I got that one. I got that covered. Stay close to your screener, because the accuser wants to take you down. The accuser wants you to be ineffective in your confidence in your spiritual life. But if you will stay close to your screener, you can be under the cover too. We have to cover one another. Have you ever had an opportunity where you needed to be covered? Maybe it was because of a sin, or maybe it was just because of some level of immaturity or ignorance or lack of experience. I remember transferring. I went to a secular university for my freshman year, the United States Military Academy at West Point. And then the summer, after I left there, that summer, God saved me as a 19-year-old. 1 month old in the Lord, having been raised in a secular home, 1 month old in the Lord, I show up at a very conservative Christian college. I'm in a unit with eight other guys. I'm the only transfer. There's seven freshmen and me. All of those freshmen were graduates from private Christian high schools. They did not know what to do with me. I was a tennis recruit there, and Dr. Murdoch was the tennis coach. He was also the chairman of the social sciences department. So Mark, who was in my unit, Dr. Murdoch was his advisor, and he wanted to follow in Dr. Murdoch's footsteps. He had read his book. He was very fond of him. So he was asking me, "You know, what's Dr. Murdoch like?" I said, "Oh, he's a hell of a nice guy." That's not the kind of language they're used to at Cedarville University. And you know what? They covered me. They allowed for my growth to grow into some level of sanctification. You know, sometimes it takes people a while to clean up their language or to clean up their habits as they're surrendering their life over to the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to cover people? Because we're all at different levels. Are we willing to cover people in order to allow for them to grow rather than cancel them or shame them, which means that they may walk away and never, never come back and be a part of the church culture? Let's be a cover culture rather than a cancel culture. Now, I'm helped by our senior pastor, Dr. David Anderson, and his book, Gracism, The Art of Inclusion. This, by the way, is now available on Audible. Tony Penny is a great narrator, and it's available on Audible if you want to download it there. But in this book, the second saying of a gracist is what? I will cover you. The biblical reference for this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, which says in the NIV, the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. But I like it in the NLT, which reads, we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. We carefully protect those parts which should not be seen. Are there parts of you that you'd rather not be seen? If so, what do you need? You need covering. And we want to say to one another, I will cover you. Now, we are in a multicultural church. This multicultural context, it's real easy to make missteps. And we need to cover one another with grace in the midst of missteps. Now, even though I've been doing life with a multicultural group of guys in a Friday morning Bible study for 8 or 9 years, I still periodically make some missteps culturally and racially. Just recently, I was meeting with the guys in my Bible study, and we had a couple African-American guys in there, and we're just greeting one another, getting ready to get the study started. And I say to one of the gentlemen who's got a nice bright yellow shirt on, I said, you're looking awful yellow today. And he said, did you just call me high yellow? And when he said that, the other African-American fellow started laughing. And then he started laughing. These guys laughed so hard, there were tears coming down their cheeks. And those of us who had no idea what high yellow meant, we started laughing too, just because they were getting such a kick out of it. I didn't know what that meant, but they were providing distance or an opportunity for me to grow and to be covered. Now, some of you who chuckled, you do know what it means. And those of you who didn't chuckle, you don't know what it means. It's an oftentimes derogatory phrase that's used to speak of a person of color who is light-skinned. And so that's what high yellow is. I don't suggest that you use it on a regular basis, okay? But this was a funny occasion. Why? Because we covered one another. Now, what if someone got really offended at that and quickly canceled me? Now, all of a sudden, we lose opportunity for personal growth, and we lose opportunity to continue to love one another. I want to be under the cover. I want to be a friend who covers others. I want to be a part of a church that covers others. On this point, Dr. Anderson writes, "The call to cover one another is the call to express godly attitudes before judging or exposing areas of the body that are blemished or unseemly." Now, this might be an opportunity to talk about, well, is it ever appropriate to challenge or confront or to correct? Certainly there is. The focus today is to cover. It doesn't mean that we ignore sin, but it certainly does mean that we handle it in a covering sort of a way. The church hasn't always, and I'm not talking about this church, the church in general hasn't always done well in the way that we've handled what we might call church discipline or correcting those who are in a habitual pattern of sin. But the Matthew 18 principle, which we often look at, is embedded in an entire chapter that is all about God's restorative grace and love. This idea that the loving shepherd will leave the 99 and to go after the one who's wandered away and even carry them back into the fold until they can walk again on their own. I want to be that kind of a shepherd. I want to walk with people who have that sort of a tenderness and that sort of a love for one another. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul was telling the church in Corinth how to handle a repentant sinner who had really blown it big time, and he had addressed that in 1 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians 2, he had repented. And in verses 6 through 8, he gives sort of a prescription for how to handle this. He says, "The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him. You comfort the one that you've restored so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow." You ever notice sometimes we're harder on ourselves than even God is on us? And sometimes we need the Christian community to cover us and to move toward us in a way that's restorative and gentle and comforting, lest we become overwhelmed with sorrow. In the book, Dr. Anderson writes, "Power down and cover those in the body of Christ with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Protect the dignity of others." Imagine if your small child found themselves in an embarrassing situation. You would do about anything to cover them and to protect them and to shield them from that level of embarrassment. We need to do that for one another. We need to be a cover culture rather than a cancel culture. Noah's three sons modeled this in Genesis chapter 9 when Noah, after the flood, he had planted a vineyard, and he had a little bit too much fruit of the vine, and he found himself drunk and naked and passed out in his tent. Well, one of his sons went in and saw this and then got the attention of the other two boys. "Hey, look at Dad." And what those two boys did was they turned and they grabbed the blanket and backed in and covered their father. And the boy who exposed the father, who didn't cover him, who exposed him, his offspring were cursed. And the two boys that covered him, they were blessed. And their offspring were blessed. How serious does God take that we love one another deeply and that we do so by love covering a multitude of missteps and mistakes and yes, even the extension of grace and forgiveness when others sin against us. Who needs your covering? Who's in close proximity to you that needs your covering? I bet by the time you get home, unless you've driven less than 2 miles here, I bet by the time you get home, someone's going to need your covering. And then those that are in constant relationship with us, are we going to nitpick or are we going to cover and not sweat the small stuff? Let's look at others as if they're saying, can you just love me? Can you just love me? Where can I do better covering rather than canceling? I've written some people off, have you? Let's be careful not to write people off, or think about those that we have and ponder whether it's an opportunity for covering. And just a word on God's covering for us. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Are your transgressions forgiven? Have you received in your weakness that covering love of Christ, who's seeking to move toward you and give you that metaphorical bath that Peter had already had, so that your sins will not be counted against you? I find it interesting that Paul here in Romans 4, you know who he's quoting? He's quoting David, when David wrote the 32nd Psalm after he had sinned with Bathsheba. That's who he's quoting. David had experienced that restorative grace of the Lord, even in spite of the fact that he had committed a heinous crime, which led to murder. And I wish you'd be covered by God's grace and by God's love. You must be covered first before you can be a good coverer of others, right? It's hard to be loved in our weakness, but we all need to confess to Jesus that we need him. Can I pray for you? God in heaven, we thank you so much that you chose to model something for Peter and for all of us by covering him and not throwing him under the bus. Thank you, Lord, that you've covered us. And for the joy set before you, you endured the cross because of your great love for us. We step under the shadow of your wings, needing your covering, and ask of you that you'd give us the grace to be good and better at covering others. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.